Hey there, I'm Tal Zlotnitsky from Ignite IT Consulting. You know me from the Braving Business podcast, but when I'm not behind the mic, I'm helping tech startups and established companies ignite their full potential. I also help entrepreneurs and businesses in distress reset for success. With over three decades of entrepreneurial success, I bring hands-on experience to drive growth, navigate turnarounds, raise capital, and lead through innovation. Whether it's executive coaching or strategic transformation, I'm here to turn your business challenges into success stories. Visit igniteitconsulting.com and let's spark that change together. That's igniteitconsulting.com. Your journey to business brilliance starts now.
And one last quick thing. If you enjoyed this episode, please stay on after the show to learn more about the Braving Business podcast and other great episodes for you to discover. And now, let's get the show started. Well, hello there.
Hey, bud. How are you?
I am well, young man. How are you?
I'm better than George Santos. He just pled guilty to all the charges.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that wasn't
that literally search. Just came on my phone as I was.
That's okay. How do I look to you?
You look great. I mean, in what way do you mean? I mean, that's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question. Do I look a year older? Yeah.
I don't know. Is it your birthday today?
No, it was my birthday last week. So apparently you're very like in my, you know, my standards of gifts are, it doesn't have to be big, just expensive. So maybe I need to update my, address to make sure that you get it to me in
good fashion. It's funny you say that because I think you know this. Aaron and I were in New Orleans, I think in January, maybe it was November last year. And I bought you this PJ's coffee thing and I never sent it to you. And it's been sitting on my desk for like the last year.
And trust me,
I keep looking at it and saying, I really do need to send it to PJ. And then I don't.
Yeah. And I could really use the coffee. Seriously.
Yeah. And I stopped drinking coffee actually. That's kind of a new thing.
Oh, no more coffee for me. How's the headaches?
Yeah. They're fine. Chamomile tea, my man. Mm. Chamomile tea is where it's at.
Crystal and Dedrick, what do you guys do? Are you naturally caffeinated, or do you partake in the morning juice of adults?
No coffee. I'm not a coffee guy. I think it is convenient that Tal said he had a gift for you. I mean, just how convenient that he had purchased it. Right? He just didn't give it to you.
Yeah.
No, I don't drink.
Isn't it the thought that counts? It's the thought, right? No, I'm sorry.
No, my wife, she don't let me get off.
Go ahead, Crystal.
The thought that counts.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I've never drank coffee actually ever, but I am a big tea drinker. So
excellent.
I do drink tea, maybe not every day, but that's my drink of choice.
Occasional Red Bull as well when you need a little shot.
Wow.
When you need some wings.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool.
PJ, tell our audience we have stars on our show today.
It's pretty cool outside of us, which is kind of nice because our stars are a little dim.
That is nice.
It's fantastic that we have both Crystal and Dedrick Polite on the show. They are the dynamic stars of the hit television show 50-50 Flip on Hulu and A&E, where they showcase their remarkable ability to renovate and flip homes for under $50,000 in less than 50 days. Always popular in the speaking circuit, they've shared their vast real estate knowledge on numerous platforms, seminars, and stages nationwide. Their early success was chronicled in the book Profit Like the Pros, written by HGTV star Ken Corsini. They founded the Be Polite Properties Company, and their journey began in North Carolina with a mission to uplift communities through home renovation and build generational wealth. In a matter of a few years, they've grown from 3 rental units to over 70 properties valued in the millions. But like all of our guests, before they made it, they had their share of challenges. While they were still dating, Crystal faced eviction from her apartment after the landlord discovered they were renting it out on Airbnb. Dedrick, who was one of the earliest employees at HubSpot, was fired from the company in 2012, a setback which could have derailed their ambitions. Their first real estate deal took 20 months to close, testing their resolve and nearly driving them to give up. and then a shady consultant took advantage of them when they launched their nonprofit. Even during the filming of season one of their TV show, they faced immense pressure, with too few hands and too much work pushing them to the brink. Despite these monumentous challenges, Crystal and Diedrich persevered. Beyond flipping houses, they've built a diverse portfolio that includes a real estate education company and other ventures focused on financial empowerment. And through their work, the Polites aim to show that anyone can build wealth through real estate, regardless of their background. Their parents as well, to two young and I'm sure adorable and very intelligent sons. Crystal and Diedrich, we're so grateful to have you on the Braving Business Podcast.
Wow. Thank you for that introduction.
Thank you, guys.
You reminded me of some of the stuff we've gone through to get here. Some of the challenges.
I tried to put that in the back of my head.
Right.
That's right.
That's funny. Actually, we hear that often. A lot of guests, as they sit here and listen, we do a good job. The writers do a good job summarizing people's careers and accomplishments and fantastic challenges. Job. And it's not uncommon for people to comment on the fact that it almost takes your breath away to realize the journey you've been on, right? And what it took to get there. Also, PJ had like seven different variations of the name Dedrick. What did you call him? Diedrich. I don't know.
He said it right the first time.
Then it went downhill from there.
I know. I'm just going to call you Mr. Polite. How's that?
Yeah, we'll be polite and call him Dedrick. So let's get started. Crystal, I want to start with you. You mentioned to us in a pre-interview that you wanted to be an entrepreneur since you were 4 years old. Oh. You even envisioned opening your own law firm. First of all, where did you get the gumption to even dream like that? But how did these early dreams shape your path?
Great question. My mother actually told me since I was four, when anyone would ask me what I wanted to do, that was my response. I wanted to be an attorney since I could talk. She said that's what I gravitated towards, was being an attorney. And my goal since I was four was I want to have my own law firm and I want to hire homeless people and train them to work at my law firm. And that was literally my path all the way up until about the middle of my freshman year in college. And I ended up producing and directing a stage play, turned in from a fashion show into a stage play, and took it on tour and loved it. Loved the every aspect of the business of directing, producing. And I said, you know what? I should double major in business entrepreneurship as well, because I didn't realize that you can major in entrepreneurship, to be honest. I had no idea. Hmm. So I ended up majoring, in entrepreneurship as well. And that's kind of what took over. Like, that's what my focus was by end of my freshman year. It was like, I want to do entrepreneurship full steam ahead. That's where my passion was lying at the point.
That is amazing. Where did you go to school?
At that time, it was in Rhode Island at Johnson & Wales before I transferred.
Oh, cool.
So, yep.
You went to Northeastern, right? In Boston.
Yeah.
And I think you went to Amherst, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I'm kind of remembering the notes. It was about a week ago that I looked at it, but I think those were, my son is at Tufts University in Boston now, but he went to Boston University. So he was right next door to you guys.
Oh, BU.
Very good school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went to Marquette, the Ivy League of the Midwest. Okay, so, so you know, both of you faced significant challenges early on your paths, right? Dedrick, you, after being one of the earliest employees of HubSpot, no longer there, right? And Crystal, you were evicted from your apartment. Both are life changing and throws a wrench in the old plans kind of thing. It's easy in hindsight to talk about perseverance, right? We kind of paused after the intro where you're like, wow, we actually did a lot of stuff. But take me back to how you were feeling at that time. What were you thinking about? What kept you motivated to keep going forward?
Yeah, for me, I was working at HubSpot. I was employee like 125. I was in early days. I was doing sales. And the track I was on, you go into a school like Marquette, Amherst, the Ivy of your little area, and people don't talk about the challenge. They don't talk about getting fired, getting laid off, being on unemployment, those type of things. They only talk about going to Wall Street, becoming a lawyer, a doctor, or something like that. right? So when I got fired from HubSpot, I was in sales and I missed quota like two quarters in a row and I got fired. I just bought a brand new car. I just bought my first house a couple of years. So I was afraid. I'm like, man, am I going to lose my car? Am I going to lose my house? And we had just started dating and I'd never gone through getting fired. I was embarrassed. I was afraid. I was depressed. And she's the one who really gave me a new perspective. She was like, look, forget that job. You didn't lose the job. The job lost you. She shook me, you know, like, get out of this depression that you're in. I was walking around moping around the house for like 2 weeks straight, wearing the same clothes, not shaving anything. I was just in the dumps. But she really changed my perspective. It was like, look, you're bigger than this. She was like, I want you to ride your motorcycle, clear your head, you know, and think about what you really want to do now, because you now have the opportunity to really go after what you're passionate about instead of just something that's a paycheck.
That's amazing. And I have to stop and talk about fear for a second, because it's a theme that often gets glossed over, right? So people talk about when bad things happen, they get sad, they get disappointed, they are frustrated. But really the first, all of those emotions, I think, start from an emotion of fear, of the unknown, fear of, you know, and that's really ultimately what it boils down to, is really it's fear of the unknown, right?
Yeah.
And our mind, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading lately about the mind, and most people have narrators in their minds. We think that the voice that's talking to us is us. It's not actually us. It's a narrator narrating from a certain perspective. And when things go badly in our lives, that narrator tends to be, you know, if you think picture the devil and the angel, it's the devil. And, you know, it doesn't, you don't have to be religious about it. I'm talking about the whichever angle you take on the devil as a religious entity, just think of the person that is acting like one. And when you are in a place where things are not going your way, fear tends to really capture your heart. And so you were very fortunate, it sounds like, to have a partner that did what a good partner would do, which is do two things at once. One, kick your ass a little bit. Two, build you back up. Mm-hmm. So good on you and good on both of you for having done that. Let's, you know, Crystal, you were evicted from your apartment. So tell us that story. And
we were evicted.
Yeah. Okay.
It was actually my idea to get into Airbnb, renting an apartment.
Yeah. So he had once he had gotten fired from his job, and I said, you know, take this time, go out, find your dream, follow your true passions. I said, and don't worry about bills. Don't worry about any of that. I'll hold you down. And that's exactly what he did. He got up, he started a consulting company, and then he found Airbnb. And within finding Airbnb, he said, hey, listen, we can Airbnb your apartment out.
And this is before Airbnb was a verb.
This is 2012. Only been around a couple years. So I was like, okay, tell me more. He told me about the whole Airbnb. He was like, oh, but your brother's living there. I said, oh, he did. Hold on one second. Hey, yeah, I'm going to need that apartment. You got 2 weeks. 2 weeks. He was gone. We started moving furniture in, got furniture. He got the site set up. And then 6 months into it, I think it was about 6-7 months, we had already made how much?
About 40,000.
About 40,000 in like 6 months. We ended up, they were doing so much construction around the apartment that we had it rented out. Then the management ended up finding out somehow that we were Airbnb-ing it and served us with an eviction notice. And me, I just think different than everybody else. Like, I wasn't depressed. I wasn't mad. I was like, all right. And not to mention, we had just found out we were pregnant. Like, literally just found
she
out.
She was always staying at my house anyway. So her house was vacant. So it was like, all right.
So you know. I was kind of like, I don't care. Let's pivot. We've seen that this is a true business model. We see that it works. Now let's figure out how we can do it the right way. And let's just pivot. Like, it is what it is. And he was like, are you okay? Are you sure? I mean, I'm over it now. They have the apartment. Let's do what we got to do. We see that it's a proof of concept. This actually works. So let's go full steam ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a very healthy approach, actually. I think it's very cool. There's supposedly an indigenous people's philosophy about thanking things for service. So, like, you know, when you lost your apartment, it doesn't necessarily have to be, oh my gosh, I lost that. It gives you a moment of pause to say, thank you for your service. Thank you for getting me to where I am now. And you've done your job and I can let you go. Right. And I think there's a sense of closure in that. where you're able to make that pivot that you needed to make with much clearer eyes. And so I think that's very cool that you you embodied that.
Yep.
So
thank you. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes you really, you just thank you for your service. So you got all this stuff. You have your first child on the way. You have you're moving around, you're doing all kinds of things. Your first real estate deal though took 20 months to close, which is not only a long time, but I can only imagine very discouraging. What kept you from giving up during that time? And how did that experience shape your approach to future deals?
Yeah. So after the Airbnb, we decided to move from Boston, where we grew up, to North Carolina. Her mom was retiring. She was like, I'm going to follow mom because they're super close. And I'm like, well, you're not leaving me here in Boston by myself. We're moving to North Carolina. So we all picked up and moved in 2013. I got a job because, again, we had a mortgage. We had bills to pay. But I'd always wanted to get into real estate. But I was more of a entrepreneur, right? I was afraid of taking risks, that fear thing, right? False expectation appearing real. I didn't want to take risks because I grew up on Section 8. I didn't grow up with a lot of money. I didn't want to go back to being broke how I grew up. So, fast forward, I started talking about getting into real estate. And I had all the books. I had the tapes. I'd gone to the seminars and the classes, but I never took action because I was afraid of losing my shirt. Like you hear so many people was coming out of the 08 crash. And finally, she was like, look, man, you're talking about this real estate thing all the time. Let's just do it.
Right.
So she started researching wholesaling. She went and set up our LLC. She got the ballroom. I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay. Let's get going. Like, right. Then we started doing it. But it literally took us 20 months.
Somebody married well, PJ. That's
yeah.
What I'm hearing.
Yeah.
The consistent theme here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One the best decision I've ever made was marrying this young lady right here. But no, she started doing the research. So we started actually going to classes, taking seminars. So we invested, probably $15,000-$20,000 into coaching, mentorship, consultants before we closed our first deal. And it wasn't for lack of trying. It took us 20 months. We were trying.
Yeah.
It just took that long to finally break through. But once we got that first deal, it was like an avalanche. We closed like 8 deals within 30 days after that. And we just been rolling ever since then.
Wow. Wow. Tal, to your point, I think it's called I Outpunted My Coverage. But that's a whole other.
There's so many ways to say it. Some of them are, better than others. I don't know. Yeah.
I like that.
So I want to talk for a second, and then I have two questions. But I want to start with the nonprofit. I don't know what timing wise this nonprofit was. That after you started doing the television show or before?
Before.
All right. So let's talk about that. So you have all these dreams. You have all these ideas. You've got a kick-ass wife who's willing to, not just have you back, but obviously be a, shoulder to shoulder with you. And then you get this, consultant who takes you guys for your money.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that experience and what lessons did you learn from that? And how the heck did you keep upright at this point? I mean, things aren't going well.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. That was so crazy. I always wanted to do something that service kids. So I did a lot of work back in Boston with my nonprofit where I was working with kids. And I kind of wanted to continue that here. So Dedrick was like, hey, I was financing everything at like 23, 24, because I didn't know how nonprofits work. So Dedrick was like, hey, listen, let's hire a consultant who can really show us how to do it the right way. We found this guy out of like Raleigh. We ended up meeting with him quite a few times because Dedrick, before he put some money down, he really
this guy was straight out of American Greed. He drove a Mercedes. He had an office. He had all this third party. Like he had all the boxes checked. And I make sure to do my due diligence. And I did not see this coming, him being a scam artist.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as the check cleared, all of a sudden.
10 grand, which is like all we had saved at the time.
Yep. And as soon as the check cleared, we couldn't get a hold of him. Then all of a sudden, the people at his office went from being super responsive to no one responding to who's that? I'm sorry, who are you calling for? Oh. To he's not at an office anymore. There is no office of his there anymore. I was like, oh.
And then like 3 months later, we end up going to the police and they're like, yeah, you're not the only one. There is a whole trail of people who've gotten scammed by this guy.
The person who referred him to us.
All right. So let's do this. So that's the part of the story that's sad and depressing. Tell me the part of the story about how you guys just
tore it
up, through it, overcame it.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while since we've talked about that.
Yes. And I think really how we overcame it is because I'm constantly telling Dedrick, at the end of the day, we're going to face adversity. Don't matter what it is, we're going to face it. It's just now it's going to come down to how are we going to handle it, right? Are we going to rise above it or are we going to let it swallow us? So all the adversity that we face, I tell them, is just par for the course. At the end of the day, we either live with it and learn from it and keep moving forward. And for us, that's really what we took away from each one of them. We're just that much closer to our breakthrough. So anytime we come up with that real major adversity, we understand, even as a couple, as a partnership, that must mean we're just that much closer to getting to where we're meant to be.
You know what? That's not, I mean, I think it's entirely true, except for if you're a fan of the Washington Wizards. I've been a fan of the Washington Wizards since I was
we're Boston 12 Celtics years fans, old. So. Okay. We just won the championship, so we're feeling
I know. You guys always win championships. I'm always like, just tell me it's going to have to turn around, right? And then it doesn't. Anyway, sorry for that diversion.
Tal sometimes uses the show as a counseling.
For his therapy. I mean,
therapy for his poor choice in sports teams. So, first of all, I love the attitude. I love the perspective of just being like you're so present in everything as you're going through it, and you're calculating in real time, which I love, because a lot of people don't have that capability or that muscle that's really been worked. And you're very clear-eyed about it, which I think is awesome. Just so kudos to you guys for always being in the present.
Thank you.
Also, just a side note before I get to the next question, I also love how everything, even since you were four, has been rooted in giving back and helping others. And because, you know, and both of you, from what it sounds like, you know, you weren't born with the proverbial silver spoon in your mouth. You weren't, you know, accepting millions of dollars from daddy to start your own company. You guys were, you know, you came from humble beginnings, and you're not only looking to fulfill the American dream, but you're also looking to help others fulfill the American dream. And that,
absolutely,
that's amazing, right? First of all, you know, clap on the back, high fives all around. It's fantastic to have that kind of perspective. Real quick, I know you guys are very successful. I know that you're probably going to be even way more successful 10 years from now. How are you going to keep the little ones in line with their eye on the prize of giving back as well? Like how is that? How are you going to make that generational in your own house?
Yeah. I mean, with us, the whole reason we got into entrepreneurship is to build generational wealth. Like you said, I came from a single parent background. So did she. We never really saw it done right. Right. But, you know, again, our goal is for our kids to have options where they can follow their true passion versus having to get at a job because they have to. So that's the whole reason we got into entrepreneurship, and just not just set up their generation, but generations after that, not to just sit around and do nothing, but to really follow their passions, whether it's helping people, being a teacher, being a nurse, being a doctor, whatever you want to be. But entrepreneurship is allowing us to set up that next generation.
And it's been extremely important for us to make sure that we show them that it's much better to give than it is to receive. You get much more gratification. So since birth, this is all they've ever seen. They've always seen mommy and daddy doing good while doing well, right? That it doesn't matter where we are in life, that it matters by who, like I tell people, it doesn't matter how many doors we own. It matters how many doors we could open for that next individual to be able to walk through and change the trajectory of their family tree. I want us to make sure for them, we're not giving them anything, right? Because as soon as you give your child something, as soon as your body is in the dirt, ain't cold or nothing, it's going to be sold out from under them because they don't have it's not a value there. So for them, they've worked in our business since they were born. This is all they know. They've been at these houses. They've cleaned them out. They've painted, they've done everything. So they have an appreciation for it, for that, but not only that, us as well. So this is what we're teaching them, different principles in life, where it's not just about doing good and how well you can do, but how can you also extend that and help someone else?
I love
bring
it.
Bring someone along on that ride.
I love it.
And Dedrick, you've also said, and this is in my pre-interview notes, that a job doesn't define you. And learning that is a value that you picked up. And it sounded like Crystal helped you with that. Tell us, you know, why do you think that that's such an important thing, particularly for men? Because I think men really struggle with being defined by their jobs. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think for men, your job, your title, your salary, a lot of men wrap up their self-esteem and their self-worth in that. But what happens, again, when you get laid off? What happens when you get demoted? Right now, you're demoralized, you're depressed. So I always encourage other men is to find enjoyment and fulfillment outside of just what you do for work and how much money you earn, right? The thing, because those things can go up and down. You're going to have good times in your career and bad times. But what else, you know, do you bring to the table? What do you do outside of that?
So cool. So very cool. All right. So,
well, let's talk about what they do outside of that, which is a TV show.
I know. So, so I'm insanely curious, how the heck did you get on a TV show? Not that, I mean, first of all, it's amazing and good for you guys. And, you know, obviously, look at you. You look TV ready already, but
how did they get on it? Look at them.
I know. How did
look at you and me. We're not on TV.
My mom said I have a face for radio, but how did you get on this TV show? And not only that, it must have been, you know, super intense, but also how did you manage to keep you guys together as a family unit, as entrepreneurs, right? Keep what got you to this show. How'd you keep that going? And you know, like what's a lesson do you think our audience can take from this?
Well, how we landed the TV show is we were getting a lot of DMs from networks and casting companies in regards to, hey, we love to talk to you guys about a TV show for at least a year or two before we even looked at A&E. And it was always, no, our kids were small and we was really, really focused on building our business. And then A&E had been in our DMs for about a year. I had no idea because our DMs were crazy anyway with us doing real estate and people always hitting us. And then they ended up finding an 800 number, our 800 number online, called our office, made our assistant at the time, our secretary, promise to give us the message and to schedule a meeting with them. And so she did. I came into the office. She was like, well, company A&E had called. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, look, we'll get back to them another time. And she's like, well, I kind of promised her that I would schedule the meeting. So I was like, she knows how big I am on keeping our word. That's why our company's name is Be Polite. So I said, okay, go ahead, set it up. We scheduled the meeting. Dedrick and I really had no intentions on doing a TV show. So when we sat and spoke with them, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, they were looking at a ton of people for these three slots, ton of people.
And they wanted a couple, but they also wanted people who had already had a social media following and had a brand, which we fit the mold for both of those.
And we had said, oh, we'll just do it and see how far we get, but we're really not going to do it. Let's just see how far we'll take it. That's what the plan was. We was like, oh, we'll see, maybe we can get in the top five. And then after, this is during COVID when everything was shut down, then all of a sudden we're on call after call after Zoom, every Zoom, it was more people on the Zooms. Then the final one that was like, hey, we want to offer you guys a slot. And we was like, oh.
We were just saying how far we could take this. We didn't think we were actually going to get it.
And our face was like stonewall. We was like, because we didn't want to say to them like, oh, yeah, because we were both really like, oh, we thought we were going to make the top five so we could tell people like, hey, we made the top five. Like, yeah. So then we was like, oh, I guess we got to do it then. OK. And you don't know what you don't know, because come season one, baby, it was almost not a season two. I promise you.
Well, let's talk about season one. So you guys had three people doing the work of 13. And by the way, I'm sure a lot of people in our audience who are entrepreneurs can relate. We oftentimes, as entrepreneurs, especially early on, have way more work than resources.
Yes.
And that challenge often defines whether an enterprise sees the next sunrise, right? Are you able to come together versus be drawn apart through the challenge of overwork? And can you learn quickly enough to adjust? Tell us the story.
Yeah, so they told us that once we signed on to do a TV show, we would film maybe 3-4 days a week, maybe 4 to 6 hours a day. season one, it ended up being 5 days a week of filming and 10 to 12 hour days.
Oh.
Right. Mind you, we have five or six companies that were running at the same time while filming a TV show. So we didn't know it was going to be that intense. So literally, like, it took us to our breaking point.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the gold, the TV gold comes from, is because we're doing five or six rehabs at a time. Things are going wrong. And, you know, stuff breaks and
we learned how to flip on national television.
Oh, yeah. We had never flipped houses before. We had been in real estate. We had renovated a lot of properties, but the properties they saw us renovating on our social media were actually our rental houses, rental properties. We weren't selling them. Flipping is a little bit different beast between selling and flipping, right? Renting and flipping. So our first flip was actually on season one, where we told them, like, look, we're not house flippers. Are you sure you want to do a TV show? And they're like, no. We want to follow you guys. And if you ask the executive producer, you know, he gets interviewed all the time. He's like, what made you pick the Polites? And he's like, look, I've been doing this for 20 years. I saw their tape and 30 seconds into it, I knew it was them. I knew that was a couple I wanted for the show.
Yeah, it was intense. Like, you don't know what you don't know. And people try and tell you, like, hey, you know, and our agent was like, you know, season one is always hard, you know, for everyone. It's hard for everyone. No, it was not hard. Listen, we were slated to do 10 houses. We did six because we was like, yeah, we're going to tap out now and get through these six so nobody end up going to jail, because we didn't have the best. We literally didn't have the best relationship with our GC at the time. And it was a lot of work on us that we did not, like I said, it was three of us doing the work of like 17, 18 people that was needed, literally.
Yeah, a lot of sleepless nights, early mornings. I mean, it stretched us to, we thought we were going to break, but when you get stretched that much, you either break or you grow, and we grew tremendously.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, how old were you guys? You know, this is not that long ago, so.
Yep. So what was this?
Season one or now?
Season one.
Yeah, season one.
I was, I just turned 40. I'm 42 now, so we won't say the lady.
Yeah, we won't say the lady's age, but I'm going to guess.
That was only 2 years ago?
Yeah, two, 3 years ago.
Yeah, two years ago.
Probably feels like 15 years ago, but yeah.
It do.
I got a lot more gray hairs, though, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so the reason I'm asking, actually, is that I feel like, you know, I'll be 51 this year, and I think back to what I had to do with some of my earlier startups, right? So they, you know, some of the companies I built became gigantic companies. But at the time I started them, I had this vision that they could become gigantic companies. And I had no idea how hard it was to get them there. And now that I'm my age and have been where I've been, I could not imagine even doing that. Like, you have to be at a certain sweet spot in your life
of
insanity. Be able to get through that. Yeah. A combination of not knowing, having enough energy, enough wherewithal, in your case, each other, right?
Yeah.
To both build each other up, probably to, you know, have those tough conversations that are harder. Even if you were partners, but not, you know, husband and wife, those conversations are really, really tough. People start businesses with other people, and at some point it's the water's edge and you stop. But if you're in, you know, in a marriage, and you could have those conversations. And it's I look back at those times in my life, and I understand exactly what you're talking about, Crystal, when you say, I have no idea how the heck that got done. How it got done. Yeah. here you are on the other side of that. So let's talk about where you're going, right? So you're continuing to be hugely entrepreneurial, doing different things. Actually, one of the things you're doing is you're opening a 40,000 square foot Sky Zone. Actually, for my birthday, my girlfriend took me to one, and I really enjoyed it. And now that's a different kind of venture. So how is the real estate? I mean, obviously, it's a 40,000 square foot place. So I guess there is some real estate involved. But how do you think your real estate experience prepared you for this? And what challenges do you anticipate with this new endeavor?
So that's actually been Crystal's dream. She's passionate about kids and giving back to kids, and she just loves family-oriented things. So since she was young, she wanted to open up a chain of family entertainment centers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of us getting into real estate is how I got her to buy in, because real estate was my dream. I was like, look, if we do real estate, we'll be able to buy enough properties and build up enough cash to be able to invest in your dream, which is building out a chain of family entertainment centers. And that's exactly what we did. We're able to buy a Sky Zone franchise And now we're going to be opening up that Sky Zone in our town of Burlington, North Carolina.
And the challenges just roll over. They roll from real estate right over to an FEC, because we've been faced with the challenge of even finding land or a building. And it's been like a year that we've been searching for land to do a new build or
retrofitting a building.
And here in this small area, there are no buildings, right? Like, whatsoever. And we knew that, but we didn't think, for us being in real estate, we was like, it's not going to be that hard for us to at least find some land and partner with a developer and have them do a build to suit, because they're already doing so much construction. Well, we were absolutely wrong. And it has been a challenge with that.
Oh, what is FEC?
Family Entertainment Center.
Oh, okay.
So the Dave and Buster's, trampoline parks, the golf places, anywhere families can get together and have fun and enjoy themselves.
Bowling alleys,
movie theaters are considered FECs.
Okay, and this is indoor skydiving, right?
Trampoline parks.
Oh, yep. It's trampoline parks. Okay, Sky Zone is trampolines. Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Oh, that's going to be tons of fun. Lots of, I'm sure, lots of insurance waivers.
Yes.
we just had the absolute most knowledgeable person on business insurance on our episode that actually ran, matter of fact, today, Grace Vandercruz. We should make a connection.
We should.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
She's fantastic. She's a brilliant woman. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, all right, you guys have dabbled in many, many things. You built a very diverse portfolio, flipping houses. Well, live on TV, well, not live, in front of all of us, launching these educational ventures, the trampoline parks and everything. What's your advice for entrepreneurs who are looking to diversify their business without spreading themselves too thin?
That's tough.
That's a great
question. So they're already an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I think the hardest part for me personally as an entrepreneur is learning how to say no. A lot of entrepreneurs, we have shiny object syndrome, so we tend to take on, squirrel, daffodil, it's learning to what to turn down and focusing on your main thing. I think that's what I would tell entrepreneurs. Don't try to do everything, because when you chase five rabbits, you catch none.
And what I would tell, because so...
She's the opposite of me. She's going to say, screw it, just go for it.
I'm the visionary. Dedrick is the integrator in our relationship. So I'm typically the one who comes up with every business that we do. It's literally a vision of mine. So for me, I would really tell any new entrepreneur, especially if you are a visionary, right? Because sometimes we can, go all over the places, but we'd be dead spot on with our visions. So I would really tell them, hey, listen, get a team. Right? Get a partner, someone who complements your weaknesses, find someone who complements you with their strengths, right? The great thing about Dedrick and I, and the reason why we can move into different directions and go into different businesses, is because we have complementary skill sets. And they are, and me and him are yin and yang. Like, if he thinks we should go right, I'm thinking we should go left, but we stay in our lanes. And I think when people learn to put a team around them, so that's how our season two was so much better, is we put the right team around us. But when you are looking to scale, going to different businesses, find those people that you can actually work with. Don't look at it, because I used to be like, no, we're going to do this. Just us. That's my mindset. I never wanted to bring anyone else in. And he was like, babe, we're going to have to help. We're going to have to bring someone in to help us with this or that, or partner. And best thing you can do, look at people who are already doing what you want to do and see how you can partner with them.
Amazing.
I love that. I think it's great advice. I love the bringing together of two different personalities, whether it's in a marriage or in a business, often brings out the best outcomes. Because I bet that, because my brother was the integrator in the many companies we launched, and I was the visionary. And the visionaries have a lot of things going forward. By the way, what sign are you? I'm just curious, Crystal.
I'm an Aquarius.
Aquarius, okay. I had a guess you're either a Sagittarius or an Aquarius.
I'm a Sagittarius.
are you? Okay, interesting. So what oftentimes I think happens with people who are visionary and they're not checked is that they don't know when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep going.
New business every month, a new LLC.
Absolutely. It is critical to have someone that is capable of acting as a check and balance on that.
Absolutely.
But that is not an Eeyore, a Debbie Downer, here's why it's not going to work, right? Because visionaries need a partner, whether it's a business partner or a life partner, that encourages their dreams, but also can gently bring them back to earth, right? It sounds like you guys do that exceptionally well.
100%.
That's my role.
There's a big difference. Real quick, I'm sorry. There's a big difference between it's great to have passion, but you can't let your passion cloud your perception. And as you move forward in things, like, you know, Crystal's obviously the driver. She's the engine. But if you don't have some good steering capability that I know Dedrick is bringing to the table, then you're just going to be going in circles sometimes, right? And so
absolutely.
It's awesome to see the two of you work so well together, because I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, that's a fear in that I know everything. My partner, you know, this is not his area. This is not her area. I have all the answers. And then invariably you don't, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to see a married, very healthy, very complimentary couple doing so well, because it can be done. Right. And I think you guys are, I don't know. I'm just big fans.
PJ and his wife are powerhouses too. PJ's wife is a international best-selling romance author. PJ's been a successful entrepreneur, and they've acted as checks and balances on each other. So he knows what he speaks of.
And I'll tell you what, it's not easy. It's not easy working with your spouse, right? It's actually harder.
Or your sibling. I work with my brother. It's not easy. But you get the best outcomes a lot of the time, right?
Yes.
I just do everything she says. That makes it the most easy.
That's what you say, but it's not really true. All right, let's end on a lighter note, because your team told us that your first date was actually a business meeting.
Oh, my.
So I would love to understand what the heck that means.
Yes. So Dedrick and I's first date was, in fact, a business meeting. And we met because we lived in Boston. We're both originally from Boston. So it was at a place called Joe's Bar and Grill. Mm-hmm. And when we met, he's thinking, you know, oh, we about to have a little date. And I immediately started hitting him with questions like, oh, okay. So are you an entrepreneur? He was like, well, yeah, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. Oh, okay. Tell me some of the things that you've done. What have you done in the entrepreneurship room? What's your credit score? Do you plan on living here in Massachusetts for long? Oh, okay. No, I'm just asking, because anyone who's going to be with me.
What's your 3-year plan?
What's your 3-year plan? What's your 5-year plan?
This is all on the first date. We're sitting down having lunch. She's
in the last 6 months.
Wow.
How are you with entrepreneurship? Are you open to marrying someone, dating someone who's an entrepreneur? Like all of that. I mean credit score, everything.
Crystal, I'm gonna go on a limb and say you didn't have a lot of second dates, because if you did that with every guy, there are a lot of guys who would be intimidated.
But you know why? Why did I have a second, third?
Other than the fact that you're both beautiful people, that had to help. But
yeah, she had been proposed to about 8 times by different guys before we even met. So she
at the wedding, I had like 3 of my exes there. We're all great friends, but they told him. They was like, listen, you're not going to believe her when you start to hear and think her mindset is. But she is the truth. They all told him, like, listen, she's 100% 10 toes, always going to be in there for you. She is who she is. Believer. I mean, you got a jewel here. And it wasn't. And I tell people, when he said his credit score, it was what, an 810 at the time, 810, 815. He was like, well, what's yours? I said 540 or something. Like, and he was like, what? And I was like, I said, yeah. He was like, well, you asking me mine. And I said, I know, because I just finished getting all my stuff off my credit, rebuilding my credit. So I just need to know where you were at. So I need to know how I was going to move. You know, like if he was at a 600, okay, now I'm thinking, okay, he's at a 600. Now I got to help him rebuild his. Let's figure out yours. And while I'm rebuilding mine, now I know how we're going to move together, right? Not versus, oh, you got a 600. I can't mess with him. No, it's just, I'm a planner, right? I'm a visionary. So I have to see where we're going. And I knew when I met him, I was going to marry him at the gas station. I was like, oh, this is the dude I'm going to marry. Okay, cool. Just very matter of fact. I was like, oh, this is him.
How many years ago is this?
We met in 2009. So what's that, 15 years ago?
You know, the one thing that I get the feeling of is that I think you guys are still on your first date. You know, like you have first date energy.
PJ, that's so romantic.
It is.
Spoken yep. like the true spouse of a romance.
Well, family. You know, it's a meet cute. What can I say?
Yeah.
It is.
I like that.
It is. Friends. First date.
Yeah. Our incredible guests today are Crystal and Dedrick Polite, the stars of the hit television show 50-50 Flip on Hulu and A&E. They're also the founders and are you co-CEOs of Be Polite? Or is
yes,
somebody a CEO?
We are.
Co-CEOs, all right.
CEO, and I'll take anything else underneath it.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. And they're also parents of two young boys who I'm sure are learning a lot from their parents. You've been amazing. Thank you so much for being our guest. We'd love to have you back on as your adventure continues. Continued success to you in all that yes. you do.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. We enjoyed the conversation.
And that's a wrap, folks. Like what you heard, want to support the show? Please follow our page on LinkedIn and Facebook. Visit us on YouTube. And please like and rate us on all of your favorite podcast streaming services. You can also see exclusive content, subscribe for free to our weekly blog, support our sponsors, and soon buy our merchandise at www.bravingbusiness.com. Thanks for being a part of our production, and we'll see you next time on the Braving Business Podcast.